We could actually, before we even go to any scripture, I'm going to just give a brief story that I heard recently. I thought was about the gospel, and it happened in World War One. Back quite a while ago, there was a chaplain, and he was a Christian out there in the battlefields, and he was asked by an officer to go and minister to this other soldier. There had been another soldier who had killed one of his fellow soldiers. Maybe he was trying to stop him mutiny. I think he wanted to go get away from the battlefield, this soldier, and he'd been put before a military court and condemned to death by a firing squad. And the officer said to the chaplain, "Look, I want you to stay here and minister to this man, the soldier that had been condemned to death because he killed another soldier trying to get away." And so the chaplain, he ministered to this man for a couple of days before he was going to be executed. And I'm sure he brought before him the gospel and many scriptures. And the wonderful thing is he came to be saved. But it made me think, what would I do if there was a man condemned to death in the same situation? What scripture would I go to in that tiny window of time that he was alive? Someone that didn't trust the Lord. And I think it made me think of this scripture, if you'll turn with me, in Romans. Romans chapter 5. But I think really, for me anyway, it really encapsulates a lot of the gospel message. Romans chapter 5 and verse 8. "But God commends his love to us, in that we, being still sinners, Christ has died for us." And friend, that's really the simplicity I want to bring of the gospel message tonight. Tonight, God commends his love. And he's shown it, friend. He's shown it towards you and I in the gospel tonight by giving Jesus, his only beloved son. That's how he's shown his love towards you and I tonight. You know, God could have just come in judgment upon this scene, this earth. But the wonderful thing is that God's love is towards you. But there is this outstanding question of the sin within each of us, that we're all sinners. But you think of the mercy and the grace here of God. It says, "We, being still sinners, Christ died for us." Yes, all those thousands of years ago that it took place, that the Saviour came here, and Jesus, and he trod that pathway, you think of that, of obedience to that cross. I can't even imagine how awful that must have been, the sufferings of Jesus. And how he had to exhaust even the righteous wrath of God upon sin, because sin, that sin in us had to be dealt with. God could not simply just come out with an offer of blessing without a perfect sacrifice. And Jesus, friend, was that perfect sacrifice all those thousands of years ago. It had to be a sinless one. We see in the Old Testament all the blood of beasts that were slain, but it couldn't cleanse from sin. But the blood of Jesus, it can cleanse all your sins tonight, friend, if you haven't trusted in him. And God commends his love to us. He's shown it in giving his son. But we, being still sinners, Christ has died for us. God had blessing in mind for you and I. He wants you to come into relationship with him. He wants to speak with you, and you can speak with him if you put your faith and trust in his Saviour, the Saviour of his providing. I just think that's amazing, that God has a plan. He had a plan to bring about salvation so that you can come into this joyful relation with him. And you know, the end of that story was that before this man was going to be shot by the firing squad, he was saved. He was saved and brought to the knowledge of the Saviour through the work of the Spirit, no doubt, and through this man ministering to him. God works in a marvellous way. That man, you might have been, you know, dreading it, I guess, sitting, waiting to be shot for what he had done. And even in those days up to the execution, one of the officers could walk by to the chaplain and he said, "That man, what's changed with him? He looks like he's about to go and leave. Does he not know he's going to go before the firing squad in a couple of days' times?" But what was it you think, that was different about that man? He knew that even though he would have to go through death, that there was life for him beyond death. Mm-hmm. And there is, for everyone that trusts in Jesus, there's life beyond death, friend. That man had assurance in his soul that his sins had been dealt with. And that even though he'd done that awful thing of killing that man, that he knew that his eternity was safe. And he knew what that scripture meant, where it speaks of elsewhere. There is no condemnation in Christ Jesus, friend. God is not reckoning our offences against us. And so if you put your faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ tonight, then as it goes on to say here in Romans 5, if you read on to verse 9, it talks about how we can be justified in the power of his blood. That means that God looks upon you and I as if we had never sinned, but if you trust in him, that's marvellous, to be clothed in the worth of his beloved Son. Nothing to do with me. I couldn't have brought about my own salvation. I had to cast myself upon the mercy of God and trust in Jesus, friend. He's a wonderful Saviour, a wonderful Saviour indeed. And, I've talked a bit about his death, but I just think that story really is an incredible one. There was a man condemned to die, and then he was able to go and be executed, but know that for him there was life beyond death. What an assurance that is to the soul. And I would trust that would be your assurance tonight, friend. I just want to turn quickly to another scripture in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 4. 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 4. And that he was buried and that he was raised the third day according to the scriptures. And that he appeared to Cephas, then to the 12, then he appeared to about 500 at once, brethren at once, of whom the most remain until now, but some have also fallen asleep. Then he appeared to James, then to all the apostles, and last of all, as to an abortion, he appeared to me also. For I am the least of the apostles, who am not fit to be called apostle, because I have persecuted the assembly of God. But by God's grace I am what I am. Stop there. I talked about the death of my Saviour, Jesus. But he's living, friend. He's not in the grave anymore. He suffered that death, and he went into the grave, yes. But this is so important, friend, because without the resurrection, there could be no hope. No hope for any of us. The resurrection is that absolutely, it says elsewhere, if Christ be not raised, you're still in your sins. And this is a beautiful, some people might say, oh, it's the gospel, it's all just a fable, it's all just made up. But these are facts of witnesses that saw, could witness to the resurrection of Jesus. Here, as we see Paul writing here, he says, raised the third day according to the scriptures. And then a whole list here we get of people that the Lord appeared to, the 12, 500 brethren at once. 500 brethren at once. You think of the witness there was there. And that witness has really carried on down. And then he appeared to James, and of course we know he appeared to all the apostles, including Thomas. And then Paul here, the witness there was there, and then Paul could write here, not fit to be an apostle because I persecuted the assembly of God. Paul, he knew something of the mercy and the grace of God, didn't he? He counted himself here as not fit to be an apostle. He knew that he'd sought to persecute Christians initially when he was Saul. But his life was transformed. It was turned around, just like this soldier's life was turned around. He probably would have gone from being quite a depressed dour state to being, as I said, he was quite happy, restful, peaceful, because he knew what was going to happen. And Paul, his life was totally transformed in how God used him. And God can use you, maybe not in the same way as Paul, but God can use you in similar ways to bring about his plans and purposes. Nothing to do with ourselves, but all because of God's mercy and grace. Paul realised that here. He said, that he persecuted the assembly of God. Well, that was true. But by God's grace, I am what I am. He'd come to know what it was to trust in Jesus as his Saviour and to be justified and to be have that sense of peace with God, which is such a wonderful thing. There's no peace in the world. You don't have to look too far to see that in many war-torn countries, is there? No peace to be seen. But yet, friend, you can have peace tonight if you trust in the Lord. With all your heart, you can just have peace. Cry out to him, repent of your sins, and put your faith and trust in him. Mm-hmm. And he will save you. He's a faithful Saviour, but a friend. One that we can trust for the whole journey. I've talked about encouragement. We need encouragement, don't we? And I think that's where the Holy Spirit comes in. You know, the Lord has not left us here to fend for ourselves. He's given a comforter. Isn't that wonderful? The Holy Spirit, being one of the Godhead, we can draw on his service and help throughout each of our days in our pathway. That we've got that inside of us if you trust in him. What a wonderful blessing that is, and I'm thankful to God for that. But I would just encourage you to put your faith and trust in him before it's too late. Think of that soldier. He knew that in a certain number of days he was going to be shot by that firing squad. I don't know how long is left, friend. We could have a day left, but the Lord is coming back to collect those that have put their faith and trust in him, to take those. And friend, I just, if you're unsure about your salvation tonight, then just cry out to the Lord afresh tonight, and he will save you. I can't promise you tomorrow, and it's true. We don't know when the Lord is coming back. Could be tomorrow. I can't promise any more time. So the message is urgent. It's urgent in the gospel tonight. And I'll just put that before you. That wonderful, go back to what it says in Romans though. God is a God of love. And he's appealing in the gospel tonight to your heart. To recognise the state you're in. That we can't do anything for ourselves. That, we can't pay our way to heaven. There are many ways people try and say these days, all ways lead to heaven, maybe, but it's not true. The only way is through Jesus, friend. He is the way, the truth, and the life. He's the only way to salvation. And I would just encourage you to put your faith and trust in him if you haven't already. He's promised to be with us to the end of the ages. That's a wonderful promise. And I'm just so thankful. It speaks of him being that high priest above, ever living to intercede for us. Think of that. You know, we might have friends in this world or people that might disappoint us or let us down, but we've got a friend in Jesus and a Saviour who will never let us down. He'll always be faithful, even when we mess up. He's always faithful, and how thankful I am for that. So I'd encourage you to just put your trust in him tonight. And that's all I've got to say, man.
Yeah. Amen. Amen.